This is the age-old story of parents who work themselves to death to provide a good life for their children, and their kid who decides she's going to be an artist. Oh, and also there's the gay porn.
Oh, does that feel good? You like that?
Well, from KCRW, I'm Matt Holzman, and this is The Document, looking at the world through the lens of documentary film.
I think I can. That's hard.
My name is Andy Warhol, and I just finished eating a hamburger.
I was in a room with 12 other lesbians for the first time in my life, and oh, what a thrill that was.
The Document is KCRW's mashup of documentaries and radio. I call this week's episode The Jewish Factor, a trigger warning for listeners who have Jewish parents, or Catholic parents, or just parents. When you meet Rachel Mason, the first thing you probably notice about her is her hair, which is usually a bright color not found in nature. And then there are her clothes, which are, well, let's just call them theatrical. You can tell just by looking at Rachel that she's an artist. Her parents, not so much.
You know, my mom, she was a total soccer mom, but the type that was driven to make sure all of us went to college, no matter what.
The Jewish version.
Yeah. The really difficult soccer mom.
Yeah, difficult Jewish soccer mom.
Exactly.
And your dad just seemed like just a nice kind of schlub, like a guy in the bus.
Yeah. I mean, my mom says if it wasn't for her, he probably never would have left Burbank, California.
Before they had kids, Rachel's mom, Karen, was a journalist, and her dad, Barry, was an inventor. But by the time Rachel came along, they were just her parents. And like many Jewish parents, they were people for whom security was infinitely more important than self-fulfillment or self-expression.
I mean, I do think it's an immigrant, you know, mentality and born out of necessity. And especially it's a Jewish thing, I think. So there's that mentality of just...
You got to do what you got to do.
Right.
Rachel's mom had burnt out on reporting by the time they had kids, and Rachel's dad's inventions weren't bringing in much money. So they answered an ad in the newspaper, and they started distributing magazines out of their station wagon. And a few years later, they bought a bookstore in West Hollywood. They went there every single day, and they made a decent living, which meant that their kids didn't have to worry about money the way they had to. So Rachel went to college to study art. And she did some pretty out there stuff. Like, as an undergrad at UCLA, she created this character called Terrestrial Being, and she dressed up in a silver bodysuit and she Spider-Manned up an 8-story red brick building. Needless to say, her parents didn't get it.
Right. And it feels so ungrateful and bratty. I definitely feel like this luxury.
I think Rachel figured her parents would take her a little more seriously if she wasn't just an artist, but an artist with an advanced degree from a fancy university like Yale. And so that's what she did.
You know, I took a class in, God, maybe it was like 2004, and it was a gay and lesbian studies class. And I remember saying to the professor, Jonathan Katz, very randomly at one point in a conversation, I didn't know if it was of interest at all, but my parents own this store, Circus of Books.
Remember when I said that Rachel's parents owned a bookstore? Well, I forgot to mention that it was a gay porn bookstore.
They own that store?
That's right. Rachel's very conservative, G-rated parents owned a triple X business. In the front, you could pick up a copy of gay literature like Tales of the City, but through the swinging doors in the back, there were videos for every taste, from Backdoor Buddies to School of Hard Cocks. Circus of Books had been a fixture in West Hollywood for more than 50 years. Yeah, it was a scruffy little place where men cruised other men and even hooked up. But it was much more than that. It was a safe space to be openly gay at a time when being gay could be dangerous. I'm guessing it's the only porn store to ever get a proclamation from the mayor of its city. And it certainly is the only one I've ever heard of described as beloved.
Jonathan Katz was like, Circus of Books? That was one of the first places I ever came out as a gay man myself. You need to do something about that, Rachel. That is a big deal.
It was called Book Circus when Rachel's parents took it over in 1982. It was something they just kind of fell into. It wasn't a calling. It was just a business. And it was a pretty good one, even if they were kind of mortified by it.
This is also what makes us so opposite. I may not ever sell the art piece that I spent 4 years on. And I have many times done that where I'm working really hard on something and working the day job and then doing this on the side. And I care immensely about it and I'm very proud of it. And it's like literally the opposite for her. No, I'm selling these things I do not care about, but I am making money and that's what matters.
The truth is, other than the fact that the money they made selling anal lube and cock rings put their kids through college, Karen and Barry Mason totally compartmentalized their business life from their family life. Rachel only really found out about the family business from her friends.
When I got into high school, my friends were the super out there artists, kids who were all gay or queer or whatever, you know, punks, I guess we called ourselves. So I remember they were talking about getting to the Circus of Books, and I was like, oh my God, that's my parents' store. And they were like, what the fuck? Rachel, that is the gay store. That is the place you get not just gay porn, but you get poppers. You get all the crazy stuff that you want at that store.
So did you ever go there when you were a kid? Did your mom like ever take you there?
Yeah. Well, we would go there, you know, and it definitely was this kind of thing of like, okay, just stand right here, look at the ground, don't look around. And of course, well, what I ended up thinking, and I really, really did think this, I just assumed every store had an over 18 section.
A few years after realizing that not every store had an over 18 section, Rachel really wanted to do something about her parents and their store, like her professor at Yale had suggested. She just didn't know what.
I remember Jonathan Katz just said, you know, when you go home for Christmas break, just get like a video camera. And it was 2004, so I had like a really old clunky video camera. And I actually asked them, I was like, you know, is there anything happening that could be interesting for me to document with this camera? And they happened to say, well, you know, Jeff Stryker just invited us to this like country line dancing thing that he's doing in the Valley. You want to come?
In the late 80s and the early 90s, Jeff Stryker was the biggest gay porn star in the world. And Karen and Barry Mason knew him because they not only sold gay porn at Circus of Books, they ended up producing a lot of it, including Stryker's action-packed mega-hit, Stryker Force.
I had always pegged Dutch as a bully, but now my dislike for him was turning to hate. Later, my new friend revealed something about my dear cousin that even I never would have guessed.
Oh, does that feel good? You like that?
So, a little grudgingly, they showed up at the Burbank Hilton. And Rachel came along with her little Sony Handycam.
So if Mr. Stryker walks in right this second, what do you want to say to him?
Nothing.
The stage in the ballroom at the Hilton is decorated with a miniature covered wagon and a backdrop painted with cartoon cacti. On the dance floor, six good-looking guys in black tank tops and cowboy hats are practicing their dance steps. And then the star appears.
Hi, Jeff.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Did you remember
how
my mom?
How are you? I didn't even Karen. See it.
He's in his late 40s, but Jeff Stryker is still handsome and very fit. He takes off his jacket, revealing a white wife beater and big biceps. And then he grabs the mic, gets on stage, and starts belting out his big gay Western country number, Pop You in the Pooper.
Pop you in the pooper, buddy, until I hear you squeal. If it hurts at first, that'll pass a bit. You'll see how good it feels. You'll do the doggy style, so give your paws, yeah. Turn around and kneel. Yeah, pop you in the pooper, buddy. Let's see how good it feels. Real good, just me.
Meanwhile, Karen and Barry Mason, members of Temple Beth Something and purveyors of hardcore gay porn, are standing at the side of the ballroom, smiling a little uncomfortably and watching Stryker and his dancers run through the song like 8 or 9 times.
Yeah, that was great. That last one was really good. I think my parents are loving it.
Driving home after the rehearsal, Rachel tried desperately to get her mom and dad to talk to her about their business for her school project.
We have to work with these people long after you're finished with
I'm
your
not
going
to do anything to show this to anybody that would...
I'm not going to, you know, I'm just not going to speculate on anything. And I've been real clear. I'm not used to doing anything with a camera. So.
Well, if the camera wasn't on, you think you'd be saying a whole bunch of other stuff?
No, it's not right to say anything.
Rachel went so far as to actually lie about whether she was filming.
There, the battery's out. Okay. And what were you going to say?
The light is still
blinking. It's out. Mom, that means there's nothing in there. I know, but just in case it's on. Well, it's really out.
In case it's on, I'm not going to say anything.
What were you going to say, though, anyways?
Nothing that's of any use.
The minute I turn the camera off, you're going to say something that I won't want to use. That's like sabotaging everything, Mom.
It's not sabotaging, Rachel. I can't perform for your camera.
No, when they got home, Rachel sat her parents down around the kitchen table for an interview that quickly went south.
Then you're not going to get it from us. Now you go talk to Stryker, maybe Billy and David. I don't care who you go talk to. But if you want to explore this business, you can't explore it here.
Well, can I explore what the business means to you here? Or it means so little, absolutely nothing?
I didn't say no, it means so little. I run a good business. And you are not doing a business interview. I think you're dancing on the fringes of prurience.
And then Rachel took her footage and edited it into a project for school. Her gay and lesbian studies professor loved it, but another professor said it glamorized the dehumanizing world of porn. And of course, her parents were not encouraging. And so basically that was the end of it, until years later, when her parents started talking about closing the store. That is coming up in a minute. You're listening to The Document.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
I'm Matt Holzman, and this is The Document from KCRW. Today's episode is The Jewish Factor. Circus of Books was a legendary gay bookstore in West Hollywood for more than 50 years. The owners for most of that time were two very unlikely, very straight, and very straight-laced characters, Karen and Barry Mason. Their daughter had made a little film project about them and their store while she was getting her MFA at Yale. But she kind of left it at that.
Life happened. And, you know, 2014 was when I found out the stores were closing. And that's when, you know, I just realized I had to make this film.
Year after year, sales had declined at the original Circus of Books in West Hollywood and the second store the Masons had opened in Silver Lake. It had just gotten easier and cheaper and more discreet to get porn and to hook up on the internet. But that just made Rachel more determined to make her movie. Her parents, especially her mom, Karen, did not love the idea, and for some pretty understandable reasons. First of all, they'd managed to keep the fact that they owned the store under wraps for years. What did your parents tell you to say to people when they asked what your parents did for a living?
So there was so many varieties of different things along the years.
Really?
Yes. Just never, ever, ever say the name of the store to anyone. It's not a thing to talk about. It was like that.
How many people really knew that your parents owned Circus of Books when you started filming the documentary? I mean, was it still a big secret?
I think all of their friends were aware, their inner circle of friends, but they really, you know, didn't make a big deal out of it. It was very kind of like, okay, well, let's, you know, we don't talk about this, but you know that that's our store. And in a wider, slightly next level sphere, I think there was hardly anyone that knew.
Part of the reason that Rachel wanted to make the movie was that she felt her parents had been a positive part of LA gay history. Not only had they created a safe space to be gay, they'd been kind and accepting to their clientele and to their employees during a time when a lot of people were turning their backs on the gay community. Her dad had visited young men who were dying in the hospital, sometimes when their own parents wouldn't.
My mom paid people in cash when she knew that they had AIDS, because if they had been paid on the books, they would have lost their health benefits.
But Rachel's parents didn't see what they had done as any big deal. It was just a business. And frankly, they just didn't want anyone to know about it. And on top of all that, there was one other thing. They were pretty sure their daughter didn't have what it takes to make a movie. Call it the Jewish factor, the deep love and complete lack of faith some parents have in their own children. Does that sound familiar?
Oh my God, that is 100% my mom. It's just, yeah, well, obviously, you've met her.
I did meet Karen Mason in the cluttered little office in the back of Circus of Books, and she immediately made it abundantly clear that she was skeptical about the whole project. And I said, well, Rachel's a successful artist, isn't she? To which she replied, is she? And then, I kid you not, she just went right back to reading the Jewish Journal. So, when you started this process, did your mom think that you had a head for business?
Absolutely not.
She just thought, you're too out there to be able to do this kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Even without her parents' support, maybe even in spite of the lack of support, Rachel decided she was going to make this movie. And to their surprise, she started to really make it happen. She hired a producer and an entire crew.
The very, very, very first day we started shooting, it was actually the scene that's not really in the film anymore. It was kind of a random one-off scene where I was performing at this totally, you know, classic Rachel Mason weird venue outdoors in Chinatown. And my mom often will show up to these things. And my producer, Cynthia Childs, was like, let's start filming. You know, let's see what happens.
Chungking Road is an area in Chinatown lined with old stores that have been turned into art galleries. Open house nights are filled with people and performances all beneath the kind of kitschy paper lanterns. On this night, Rachel's getting ready for her appearance in an apartment above one of the galleries. While her mom watches, she puts on a wild, sparkly wig and covers her entire face in white makeup.
If I had known that it would end up with her doing performances like this, I would have thrown out all the crayons.
Outside, it was time for Rachel to take the stage.
Here she comes, Miss Rachel Mason. Let's put our hands together in a great big Perform Chinatown round of applause. Woo! Rachel Mason, everyone.
Rachel moves around the little stage like a witch casting a spell on her audience of 8 or 9 people. Her mom watches with her arms crossed and a slightly bemused look on her face. When she finishes, Rachel walks up to her mom and asks her what she thought. Her mom says some of it was good. To which Rachel replies,
or wait, you think some of it was good, but most of it was bad?
No.
Oh, okay. Mostly it was kind of bad.
It wasn't bad. Just,
I had like more words.
And your gestures in each song are very similar.
Well, that's good criticism.
You know, you don't have any choreography that is meaningful, it seems to me.
But what about jumping off the stage?
What's your point?
Oh, okay.
Well, what's the point?
Well, it adds, like, you know, I don't know, I do it when it feels right.
It's okay. Yes, that's just your artistic thing. It's what you want to do. It's okay.
Well, but art should be sold. I mean, what do you sell?
No, but I mean, if this is...
The thing that broke my heart about the Chinatown scene is that, like every good child, you are going to the person who is absolutely not going to be able to give you the validation that you so desperately need. You just keep going back to that well, and it is so dry, right?
God, it's so funny. Yeah. I mean, what I realized with my mom is I do think there's a piece of them that just can't help it because it is this, it comes from a place of being so concerned for you.
It's not easy to make a documentary about someone who doesn't want to have a documentary made about them, especially when that person is your mother. But Rachel persisted. For 3 years, she collected archival materials and filmed interviews about Circus of Books.
That bookstore was really important because there was literature in them that had to do with our lives. I mean, we were the unspoken, hidden people that you never talked about because they were disgusting.
It made all these men comfortable exploring their own sexuality.
Porn has always had a place in the gay community because, you know, we didn't see anything like that, to see men, you know, naked and unafraid.
And for 3 years, Rachel tried to film her parents with her mom kicking and screaming the whole way.
I don't like all this filming, and I don't know what you're going to come up with from this. And you're not going to get anything here.
You can't just keep telling me what I can and can't do. I run a little business. I don't like it.
Oh, you can't photograph those model releases.
Mom, I'm just photographing the title names.
Okay. See, but Rachel, what are you going to do with stuff like this? I mean, this is...
Okay, well, you're not somebody that makes documentaries.
Circus of Books in West Hollywood closed forever on February 9th, 2019. And before that happened, Rachel managed to make an amazing documentary about it and her parents. But it's not just about how these very unlikely people ended up getting into the business of gay porn. It's about LA gay history and gay identity and the First Amendment and the AIDS crisis. The movie is so good that Netflix picked it up before its premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival earlier this year. And in a way, the making of the movie did change Rachel's mom's opinion of her daughter a little.
I think actually the best compliment I have ever gotten from my mom came at the end of this film. And she said, you know, I think you have a knack for business that you didn't know you had. And she's like, I didn't really know you had it either. But I remember feeling like, wow, that was amazing.
Did you think that at some point, if you succeeded in making a movie, that you could change her mind about being kind of ashamed of her business?
You know, I hoped, and I still hope, that she could find a way to be proud of her accomplishment. And, you know, seeing how hard it is to get her to feel any sense of pride at
all.
About
anything.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there's a wonder in my mind is she doesn't allow herself to feel any kind of pride.
But it's funny that the child who never really got her approval and never got her approbation was working so hard to give her mother approbation. Does that make sense?
That is really interesting. You know, I think it's actually that I don't care about getting her approval anymore. I think I did. But in a strange way, I really do feel like she was part of something that mattered so much.
Rachel's film called Circus of Books screened earlier this year at Frameline, the San Francisco International LGBTQ Film Festival. Both her mom and her dad were there.
And I get up onto the stage and the whole audience, it was like over 1,000 people at the Castro Theater, you know, the most historic theater in San Francisco. And the audience jumps to their feet, starts clapping, and this is like a nonstop, constant standing ovation, the kind that are like the epic ovations. And somebody asked the question of like, well, how do you feel about this film? And my dad's response in a way was so like the normal response. He said, you know, I really didn't know that what we did was so important. And afterwards, I said to my mom, what did you think? You know, and she said, I don't know why those people were standing for so long. We were up there like idiots and just that audience, they should have sat back down. Like, wow, okay. I mean, it was like, Mom, there's no way to find fault with a standing ovation. That's just a thing that you accept as cool. You know, let's go through the ways we can't enjoy this.
Hey, buddy, you say you're straight. Well, that's great, but you ought to try something new. 'Cause you got a spot in a place that's hot and it likes to be tickled too. I've got a wad to drop on your loading dock. Deliveries in the rear. So, buddy, let's play while the wife's away. Let me get you another beer. Let me pop you in the pooper, buddy, until I hear you squeal. If it hurts at first, that'll pass, and then you'll see how good it feels.
And that's the document for this week. Rachel Mason's documentary Circus of Books has been honored as the opening night gala film at Outfest here in LA this week at the Orpheum Theater downtown. It should be a totally insane night. I hope I'll see you there. For more information about that and more, go to kcrw.com/thedocument. If you want to communicate with us, send us an email at thedocument@kcrw.org or get social at documentkcrw on Facebook or Twitter. I'm Matt Holzman, and I produce today's show with Sarah Pellegrini, Mike Schlitt, and Ray Guarna. Thanks to the International Documentary Association for their assistance. The Document is a production of KCRW.
Let me pop you in the pooper, buddy, until
until I hear you squeal. If it hurts first, that'll pass, and then you'll see it's no big deal. We'll do it doggy style, so get on your paws, yeah, turn around and kneel. Yeah, pop you in the pooper, buddy. Let's see how good it feels. And it's gonna feel good. Yeah, shake it. Ooh, shuffle it around. I like your footwork. Bend over. Oh, yeah. I popped you in the pooper, baby. Now you know how great that feels. It'll hurt at first, that'll pass, and then you'll see it's no big deal. Let's do a doggy style, so get on your paws, yeah, turn around and kneel. Yeah, pop you in the pooper, baby. Now you know how great that feels. I popped you in the pooper, baby. Now you know how great that feels. See, I told you, you'd like it.